Good morning. Very happy to be here in Fallsbrook. I have driven by this church time and time again since actually 1986. But this is the first time I've ever been here to worship. And so I'm delighted to be here and to have this opportunity to come and to worship with you this morning. I have a custom that I follow, and that is I never speak or preach without first talking to my Lord. I feel like I am totally and completely dependent upon Him. And so I'm going to kneel and talk to my Lord. You may just remain seated there if you like. My Father, I come to you this morning asking, Lord, that our hearts may be soft, that they may be tender, that they may be open, that the Holy Spirit may be present, and that it will give us wisdom, understanding, that as we open your word, that we may see the wonderful things that you have revealed, that we might have faith to walk and to follow what your word says. Help us, Lord, that we might reach out, take hold of the promises of your word, and know that you honor those who walk with you by faith. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. As a boy of 9 years old, my parents moved from Chicago, Illinois, to Oklahoma, and moved out on the farm where we didn't have any electricity, no running water. And so for a nine-year-old boy, this was a major adjustment in life. And we had been there on the farm not too long until my father one day said, I want you to go with me today. I'm going to show you how to build a fence. And he took me out in the pasture and he showed me a place, or took me to a place where he said, we're going to put in a corner post here. This will be the corner of the fence. And then he went on to explain that the corner post had to be very strong, had to be put in very well, because it bore the weight of the fence. And so he said, we'll have to dig a hole right there. And he introduced me to something called post hole diggers, which I wished I'd never found out what they were. But I can remember we dug this hole, deep hole in the ground, and put the post in, a large post, and then we tamped all the dirt in around it, and then we braced it, and we did everything that was necessary to make that corner post very strong. And then after we had the corner post in, he took the post hole diggers, and he stepped off about five paces, took the post hole diggers, and lined them up with the corner post, and he said, we're going to put the next post right here. And we dug a hole, put the post there, and then he stepped off five more paces and did the same thing again. And then he told me, he said, now if you take your post hole digger and you always line it up with those posts and the corner post, you'll always have a straight fence. And I found that to be true, that if you did that, gave you a straight fence. But when I got older, I began to find out that that same principle applied to understanding the Scripture. For as I begin to read the scripture, I begin to find that it talked about Jesus as being the chief cornerstone, or if you please, the chief corner post. And it says in scripture clearly, it says here, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. So it says that Christ is the corner post or the cornerstone, and if we build everything according to him, we won't be put to shame. So Jesus went on to say that everything in the scripture pointed to him, and you had to build it all together. This is what it says. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. So if I take whatever subject I'm studying, and I line all of them up with Jesus Christ, I'll only come out one way. Now, let me say that again. If I take whatever subject I'm studying in Scripture, and I line it all up with Jesus Christ, I'll come out only one way. And I'm going to show you, we're going to build some fence today. And I'm going to show you simply how it works if you line it all up with Jesus Christ. And we're going to take a look today at the subject of the Sabbath. And we're going to see how the Scripture lines all that up with Jesus Christ. So let's just build a little fence. Revelation 1:10, text that says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now that text tells me one thing. It tells me that Jesus has a day. That's what it says. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. But that text does not tell me what day it is. It doesn't tell me if the Lord's day is the Sabbath. It doesn't tell me if it's the first day of the week. It doesn't tell me if it's Friday. It doesn't tell me which day it is. It just simply makes the statement that the Lord has a day. So, what am I needing? What do I need? I need another post, right? I'm going to line it up with Christ, so I need another post. So let's put in another one. Luke 6, verse 5. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So now I have a post that says that the Lord has a day. And I have another post that says that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay? But it doesn't tell me what day that is. It tells me he has a day, and it says Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, but it does not tell me which day that is. So, I need another post. See, we've got to line him up with Christ. So I put in another post. Hebrews 4:4, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his work. So I've got now a text that tells me that the Lord has a day, tells me that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and I have a text that tells me that God rested on the seventh day. Still does not tell me what day that is. See? Just doesn't do that. So I have to put in another post. So if I put in another post, it says, Exodus 20:10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. So now I've got them all lined up. It says the Lord has a day. Jesus says he's Lord of the Sabbath. It says God rested on the seventh day. And it says that the seventh day is the Sabbath. You following me? So if you just take them and you line them up with Jesus Christ, you're only going to come out one way. So when we take a look at the Sabbath. There's some aspects about the Sabbath that I think sometimes we overlook. And one of the things about the Sabbath is the simple fact that the Sabbath belongs to God. It does not belong to you. Now let me say that again. The Sabbath belongs to God. It does not belong to you. The Sabbath was never given to you and to me. It belongs to God. I wanted to share with you a few texts where he makes it very, very clear that it's his Sabbath, not yours, not mine. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. What now? How many days? 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. It is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. So he's saying, 6 days, yeah, go do what you want to, work, labor, but the seventh day belongs to me. That's what God's saying. Seventh day is mine. It's the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Listen to one more. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. So, dear friends, we must understand that the Sabbath is not ours. It's not for me to do as I please. It's not for me to do as I particularly want to do, but it belongs to the Lord. It's His, not mine. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So he said, what he tells you and I is the Sabbath belongs to him. But you and I are to keep it holy. You see, dear friends, the only day that I can keep holy is one that he made holy. I do not have any ability at all, and neither do you, to make a day holy. You can't make a day holy. Only God can make a day holy. And he tells you and I, hallow it, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. It belongs to me. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the Sabbath doesn't belong to you any more than the tithe belongs to you. See, that's his. He says, that's mine. That belongs to me. And the same thing he's saying on the Sabbath. He said, that's mine. It belongs to me. But I'm asking you to keep it holy, to care for it. No. So, Jesus gave us some real examples in keeping Sabbath, and he makes it distinctly clear what belongs to you and to me. Thus saith the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces towards the east shall be shut. What? 6 working days. That's yours. That's mine. You can do with it what you please. 6 working days belongs to us. But he goes on and says, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and on the day of the new moon it shall be open. So he's saying all the other days are working days, but the seventh day is mine. You and I are to keep it holy as God asks us to. 6 days shall work be done. 6 days shall work be done, But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So he says, 6 days you can work, do what you need to do, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. And then he says something about it. He says, it is a, what? A holy convocation. Do you know what that means? When he says it is a holy convocation? Folks, that means you're to go to church. That's what a holy convocation is. It says, I've set that day aside for worship. You are to go to church on the Sabbath day. That's what he's saying. It's a holy convocation. You're to come together, worship the Lord together. That's what the Sabbath is to be. Well, the reason it's his and the reason it belongs to him is because he's Lord of the Sabbath. And he's Lord of the Sabbath for several reasons. One, he's Lord of the Sabbath because he's the Creator. And he makes that point very clear. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So it says that he is the one who created this world. And since Christ is the one who created this world, it says this, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. So it says that Jesus Christ blessed, hallowed, sanctified the seventh day as a memorial of creation. And so he is Lord of the Sabbath because he's the Creator. But not only is Lord of the Sabbath because he's the Creator, he is Lord of the Sabbath because he set the Sabbath aside as a time of worship. And I think we miss that many times, that God set that day aside as a day of worship. Listen to what it says here in Isaiah. For as a new heavens and a new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and what? Worship before me, saith the Lord. So he took that seventh day, and he said, I'm setting aside as a day of worship, or a time of holy convocation, that my people are to come together and worship me. And since he is saying that you are to worship him, in order to receive worship, he must be what? He must be Lord. And therefore he is the Lord of the Sabbath, because he set it aside as a day of worship. Not only is he Lord because of creation, not only is he Lord of the Sabbath because he set it aside as a day of worship, but he's Lord of the Sabbath because he's the lawgiver. There is one lawgiver. How many?
One.
There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. One lawgiver that can save or destroy. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. Nobody else can. I don't want to sound, I don't want to sound a little easy here, But I want you to understand that he's the only one that can save you. God the Father can't save you. The Holy Spirit can't save you. Do you know why? Because God the Father or the Holy Spirit, neither one of those died for you. The only one that died for you was Jesus Christ. And therefore, he is the only one that can save. He alone. Listen. There is their salvation in no other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And he is the lawgiver. And because he's the lawgiver, he is also the Lord. So he's Lord because he's the creator. He's Lord because of worship. He's Lord because he gave the law. And he took that Sabbath and put it right in the middle of his law. Remember the Sabbath day. What? To keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Took it. You can go through the scripture and you can find a lot of places where it says God blessed, or it says he sanctified, or he made something holy. But only the Sabbath, folks, only the Sabbath does it say that he blessed, hallowed, and sanctified it. All three. So let's take just a moment or two and build a little more fence. Jesus gave some very clear examples in Sabbath keeping. And he made it clear how you and I are to keep the Sabbath. So he came to Nazareth as he had been brought up, and his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So the scripture makes it very clear that it was Christ's custom to keep the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read, something that he did over and over again. Also it says, then Jesus said to them, I ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? So he's coming to the point of the Sabbath, and he said, now, is it all right to do good on the Sabbath? And then he gave him an example, because in that room was a man who had a withered hand. And so it says, and when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So Christ made it very clear that it's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath. That is part of Sabbath keeping, is to do good on the Sabbath. Also, it, to me, makes people come up with the question, well, how do I know when the Sabbath begins? They ask this question and they so forth. I want you to listen to this text. You have to look at it very carefully. And it says here, when the sun was setting, when the sun was what? Setting. All those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now it says there are these people all waited until the Sabbath, or till the sun was set. So what's involved here? Well, what's involved is the Pharisees said it was wrong to heal anybody on the Sabbath, that you couldn't do this. So the people waited until the sun set, and then they brought the sick to him. So I'm trying to get across to you this morning. The Bible is very clear that the Sabbath ends and the Sabbath starts with the rise or the setting of the sun. Okay, in fact, that's what it says here. From even till even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. People sometimes got mixed over that, up over that, and said, well, when does evening begin? And I'm saying the Bible defines evening as when the sun sets. That's when the Sabbath begins, and that's when it ends. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. This is the death of Christ. And there's a point in here that I think we need to look at very carefully. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils and rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So here Christ has died. These women went, saw where the tomb was, how his body was laid, but they went home and rested on the Sabbath. Now, if taking care of the body of the Lord was such that those women waited until after the Sabbath to take care of it, then I think you and I need to be very, very careful how we treat the Sabbath. Because they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. For I have given you example. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He's given us an example in Sabbath keeping. And he says, blessed are you if you do them. Let me just say this to you, folks. Christ never, never, never asks you to do something and it cost you that he will not repay. If it cost you, I guarantee you he will repay. That's something he always does because he says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so if you and I do what he tells us to do, I'll guarantee you he'll stand with you. And I need to be very, very careful how I treat the Sabbath. You have an example of Paul that I just wanted to put in here because I think his example is important. And it tells us clearly how God looks at it. Here in the book of Acts, it says, so when the Jews, went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. These are not Jews. These are Gentiles. And they've come and asked Paul if he would preach to them the next Sabbath. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. So they turned out to hear the word of God preached on the Sabbath. It was Paul's custom. This is what he says. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scripture. So it's something that he did over and over and over. You see, if you and I are faithful to the Lord, I promise you, he will not fail. I was holding a meeting up in Maryland, and I had preached on the subject of the Sabbath. And this man came up to me after the service, and he said, I can't keep the Sabbath. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I own a filling station And he secondly, I have a heating oil business connected with it. And he said, I know I do more business on Saturday than I do any other day of the week. And he said, if I kept the Sabbath, it would wreck me. He said, I just can't do it. What do you say? All I said to him is, I didn't write the book. I didn't write the book. So he left and came back to the meetings. And after about two or three nights, he came up to me and he said, okay, he said, I've made up my mind. I'm going to keep the Sabbath if I starve to death. And I said, I doubt that you'll starve. And he closed up his business on the Sabbath. Became a member of the church. And I went on holding meetings different places. And I guess it was a year later that I was there at the church, at his church, worshiping with him. And after church, he said, go home with us for lunch. And so I said, okay, and I went home with him, and we had a nice lunch. And we visited all Sabbath afternoon. The sun set, and he turned to me, and he said, I've got to go down to the station. He said, I'd like for you to come along if you would. And so I said, okay, I'll go with you. And we went down to the filling station. I could not believe what I saw. Pulled up to that filling station, and here cars were lined up for two blocks waiting for him to open. I pumped gas for 2 hours as all the cars came through. Finally, when we had taken care of everybody, he took me in and he said, let me show you something. Opened up his books. He said, from the time I've closed this business on Sabbath until today, he said, my business has doubled. What I'm trying to tell you is God will not fail. If it costs you, he will repay. Promises. That's what that promise is all about, that I had you read. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, that means trodden it underfoot. From doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways. Be very careful, folks. Don't do your own ways, your own thing. If I speak to you, how should I put it? Very straight. Don't be a thief. That day doesn't belong to you. It's God's. Don't be stealing. It's his day. Okay? Shall honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. That's a promise that if you follow him, he will bless you. Now he talks about the Sabbath as a very, very special time between you and him. This is what he says. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths. To be what? To be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. He said, the Sabbath is a sign between me and you that I'm the Lord that sanctifies you. It's a very, very special time. There's three words in the Bible. It's used only three times, that has a special meaning. Paul spoke about it when he said, because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, folks, that word Abba is a word that we don't have in our English language. And that's the reason it comes into your Bible in its original form as Abba. And the closest thing we have in our English language for that word Abba is Daddy. That's the closest thing that we have to it. It's not exact, but it's close, is Daddy. Christ used that word. Paul goes on and says, therefore you are no longer slaves, but a what? A son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. So it says that represents a close relationship. Mark 14:36, Jesus said, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So he's talking about a close relationship between he and his Father. And that's the reason as he prayed, he said, Abba. Now, this is a little play on words, but I think it's very important. He said, I gave you the Sabbath as a sign between me and you. It's interesting to me that he took that word Abba that represents a very, very close relationship and put it right in the heart of the Sabbath. So God is saying to you and to me, this is a special time that I will spend with you and worship you as my Savior, as my Lord. We will honor him and keep his Sabbath. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time that we can spend with you. And we pray that day by day we may grow in this relationship, that we too will come to know you as our Lord, our Savior, our friend, and our Redeemer. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.